Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
The Bob Seska Show.
Bob Seska.
Eat shit, Bob.
Hey. The Bob Seska Show.
From our nation's capital, it is Thursday, July 28, 2022, and this is the Bob Seska Show on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. I will not be eating shit, John Oliver. Sorry. Oh, yeah, by the way, my name is Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Hi, day 557 of the Biden-Harris administration. 99 days. 99 days. You hear that? Get your asses in gear. 99 days to go until the 22 midterms. Find me on Instagram, TheBobSeska, Twitter, BobSeska_go. Our Patreon is BobSeskaShow.com. And sitting right over there is the Goth Ninja. Yes, the gang is all here. Jody Hamilton, Spicy Jody from the From the Bunker podcast, patreon.com/from the bunker. Also, David Ferguson. We call him T-Rex.
Hi.
His music project is astralsummer.bandcamp.com. Got a brand new single. I think we're going to premiere next week.
Let's go ahead and tease that. Yep. Woo-hoo. Brand new single coming out next week.
Is that an Astral Summer single, or is this going to be a solo project?
Oh, no, it's Astral Summer.
Okay, perfect.
My only other side project right now is a, like, gut bucket, like, punk band with a friend of mine named Greta in Hawaii, and we're called the Gender Repeal Party.
Oh, that's so excellent. I like that a lot. And we heard a preview of the new single, and I love it. It's got a great groove. Yeah. Its vocal performance is outstanding. I can't wait for everyone to hear it. So we'll be rolling that out next Thursday, I believe.
It really came together. Like, I started on it on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And so you guys heard it day before yesterday. So how many days did I spend putting it together?
Like, very few compared to how it sounds. I mean, it's a great sound.
And I got about 6 hours of sleep in there, and I'm just a little stupid today still from that. So bear with me if you're like, what were you just saying, T-Rex? I'll be like, I don't know.
Well, I'm stupid every day. So, hey, you know what? We got lots of great news today.
Don't sell yourself short, Bob. You're pretty plenty smart when you try.
And I try so hard. You know, so many things to talk about today, and most of them... It's one of those rare weeks, one of those rare, like, 48, 72 hours somewhere in there, where it's nothing but great news from top to bottom. I mean, given the fact that there are lots of still horrible things in the world, but there's...
This means at 3 p.m. Eastern today, like, something will explode. It'll be a mass shooting or something. And,
yeah.
You know, I mean, you're just, like, so tempting to say,
I know.
Nothing but great news today.
Just today, just right at this moment in time. We're just going to go with that.
Let's just start
future,
the show.
People in the future know different.
Let's start the show over again. I'm going to retract everything I said about all the great news because I think, David, you're exactly right. You're spooking me now.
Oh, no, just let it ride, Bob. You'll be fine.
All right. So the first thing...
We're halfway to the club now, and Bob's like, I don't know if I want to wear this. And you spent like 6 hours getting dressed. Yeah. No, Bob, that's what you're wearing. We're going to the fucking club.
Speaking of appearances, we got to talk about this new Trump photo that's floating around. I saw it first, I think... Say what you will about the website called thehill.com. I know a lot of people hate that website, and they're not the best in the world, but man, they picked a photo today to go with one of their Trump stories. That is my new favorite thing in the entire world. My old favorite thing in the entire world was a picture of Tucker Carlson that I have pinned on my Twitter feed. It's a really
embarrassing. He looks like a toothless 8-year-old at his birthday party.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly what he looks like. Well, now that might be replaced by the new photo of Donald Trump looking like a piece of brie cheese left out in the sun mixed with like bloody boogers or something like that.
It's so gross.
It is so disgusting.
So aggressively moist.
Like when we first connected here before the show, I was like, oh my God, I got to send this to Jody and David. Go look at this photo now, because it's one of those things where, and we talked about this, I believe it was either Tuesday or last year, we talked about how if you live by the bullying, you're going to go down by the bullying. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I have no trouble whatsoever making relentless ad hominem fun of Donald Trump. And
well, he looks like potato salad was left out too long in the sun. That's what he looks like.
Yeah, and it was like some New York Times white people potato salad. Like
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, like really shitty potato salad. He makes Steve Bannon almost look not like an alcoholic thumb.
Yeah.
He makes Steve Bannon look as fresh as a spring day.
Exactly.
Seriously, he looks like a freaking wet fetus. I mean,
he does.
You ever have a hamburger and you put mayonnaise on it and then you put the ketchup right on top of the mayonnaise and it kind of swirls around into a white and red swirl? That's what Donald Trump's face looks like, but sweatier. Like, oh my God, the sweating. I haven't seen anyone
and
sweat
the
like that.
And nasty hair. Like the gross too long hairs hanging off the back of his head. Like he's either like in an old folks home or he's like a toddler who hasn't had his first hair. It's just like so disgusting. Just like sticking. Oh God,
yeah,
horrible.
Yeah.
The problem with it, we can make fun of Trump's appearance because 90% of it is decisions that he made.
Right. Of course.
Know, to like put on turd-colored bronzer.
Exactly.
And, you know.
Right. Well, if you start to mock disabled reporters, if you're mocking women for their appearance or blood coming from their wherever. Then you know what? You're opening yourself up for retaliation for that, and it's
your
well-deserved.
Your blood's in the water, buddy.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm sorry. I try not to go ad hominem like this on certain people who don't necessarily deserve it, but with Donald Trump, absolutely let fly. Don't feel embarrassed to make fun of Donald Trump or to retweet that photo, because I'm going to make it the avatar for today's show, because of course I am. It'll be the third time today.
Anybody in our audience is sitting here going, man, I wish they wouldn't be so hard on that Donald Trump. You know, like,
hey, go a little
everybody
easier.
Here is like, finish him, kick him in the face, you know, like.
Okay, I decided that we're going to start with the Inflation Reduction Act of 2022, which, despite its awful, stupid name. It is a stupid name. But then again, we expect that from Democrats to come up with stupid names
it's
for
sort
their
of,
legislation.
What is it? Oxymoron.
Yeah, yeah.
Inflation reduction. It's like, oh, our country's going to be so much more comfortable in a bra.
Yeah, well, I'm blaming Joe Manchin for the title. I think Joe Manchin wanted that to be the title. He didn't want it to be Build Back Better. In fact, he would have voted against it if it was called Build Back Better. I think that was part of his statement in all of this. But this is a gigantic deal. Let's not undersell what's in this legislation, because the first thing right out of the chute, and this makes me feel so much better because I've been in this place at least for the past, I don't know, 10 years, but most specifically the past year or so, where I've been very doom and gloom about the future of human existence on this planet because of the climate crisis, or what I've been referring to as impending human extinction, which I think is 100% accurate, by the way. So this legislation will commit billions of dollars to fixing the climate crisis to the extent of reducing carbon emissions by 40% over the next 8 years. And given what we have seen in the past, which has not been great, but it's been relatively significant, this piece of legislation with this expenditure on the climate crisis is momentous. You know, they bill it as being, well, we're going to reduce carbon emissions by 40% by 2030. And you think, oh, 2030, it's never going to be 2030. 2030 sounds like the distant future, like we need a time traveling DeLorean to get there. We don't. It's only 8 years away. So over the next 8 years, that's two presidential terms, more or less. there is going to be a significant reduction in fossil fuel emissions here, at least in the United States. And that's a big fucking deal. So, according to the summary, Democrats said their proposal would raise $739 billion over the decade in new revenue. This is deficit-reducing revenue, which, by the way, makes the Democrats the Deficit Reduction Party officially. Let's yes. not mince words yes. here. This is, I think, the latest of three Democratic presidential administrations where there has been significant deficit reduction over the course of that administration. Bill Clinton reduced all the way down to having a budget surplus.
A budget surplus, yeah.
Yeah. Barack Obama cut the budget deficit down to, I think, from $1.4 trillion down to $400 billion, which is a significant reduction of $1 trillion. And it looks like Joe Biden's going to have the same sort of record. So that's $739 billion in new revenue, including $313 billion from a 15% corporate minimum tax. Gone are the days that Amazon and Google and all these big corporations that make $1 billion or more in profits annually are now going to have to pay a minimum 15% tax on that money. Hopefully there are no loopholes that they will exploit. Hopefully this will be ironclad, fingers crossed, but the days of these mega corporations getting away without paying taxes, those days are over. While the smaller businesses won't have to pay that much in tax, obviously. So that's that. That's significant, too. They said that this would affect around 200 of the country's largest corporations with profits exceeding $1 billion. The agreement also contains $288 billion the government would save from curbing pharmaceutical prices. Those provisions would also require Medicare to begin negotiating prices on a modest number of drugs, pay rebates to Medicare if their price increases exceed inflation, and limit that program's beneficiaries to $2,000 annual out-of-pocket expenses. The deal also claims to gain $124 billion from beefing up IRS tax enforcement. So tax cheats, look out. $14 billion from taxing some carried interest profits earned by partners and entities like private equity or hedge funds. So all the hedge fund managers in New York are shitting themselves today. The measure would spend $369 billion on energy and climate change initiatives. These include consumer tax credits and rebates for buying clean energy vehicles and encouraging home energy efficiency, tax credits for solar panel manufacturers, $30 billion in grants and loans for utilities and states to gradually convert to clean energy, $27 billion to reduce emissions, especially in lower income areas. It would also aim $64 billion at extending federal subsidies for three more years for some people buying private health insurance. These subsidies, which lower people's premiums, would otherwise expire at year's end. And that, of course, applies to the Affordable Care Act. That would leave $306 billion for debt reduction, an effort Manchin has demanded, while a substantial sum that's a small fraction of the trillions in cumulative deficits the government is projected to amass over the coming decade. Well, they're kind of screwing around with the terminology here. There's going to be a massive reduction in the federal budget deficit. That doesn't necessarily mean that the debt is going to come down significantly, because that's a much higher number. It accumulates over the years, the deficits, into the national debt. But this is still a big deal from a fiscal point of view. This is still a big deal from an environmental point of view. Medicare, healthcare, the Affordable Care Act. The taxation on these gigantic corporations. This is basically the remnants of Build Back Better rebranded as this lame title, the Inflation Reduction Act. And so this is going to be passed through reconciliation. All they need for that is 51 votes.
51, yep.
So
even if Sinema says no, then the vice president can come in.
I guess the parliamentarian is one of the last hurdles. I would say Sinema is kind of a hurdle, but
she's a hurdle. She hasn't said shit, and she's an asshole. So fuck that fucking. Ooh, I said it.
Wow. Whoa, Spicy Jody is here in Act One, folks.
Holy shit! Welcome to the show.
She is. She's a fucking. You know, fuck her. I fucking hate her.
It's Thursday, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the show.
F you.
She She is.
Well,
I can call her that. I'm a lady person.
She may not need to say anything if the parliamentarian balks at this. And that's a possibility, although I doubt it. I doubt they would get this far in a deal.
Wait, what's the rule that it has to do exactly with?
Budget and spending.
Budget.
Yeah.
This is a spending plan, isn't it?
Yes, yes, of course.
Plan. So the parliamentarian has got no grounds. Sorry.
Yeah. I don't think they would have gone through this whole process trying to cajole Joe Manchin without kind of consulting with the parliamentarian in terms of whether or not the thing would pass. Like, can you imagine all this effort to get Joe Manchin to finally change his mind on this shit, and then only to get to the parliamentarian to go, nope, you can't do it. I don't think that's the case.
And the fact that they fucked McConnell over.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. On the chips thing. On the on the semiconductor.
Oh, poor Mitch. Somebody pulled a Mitch on you, Mitch.
Yeah.
What happened?
Okay. Well, I think what happened was they were going to pass this semiconductor bill, which would have subsidized the production of new semiconductors because there's a shortage of them.
A
right
chip
now.
Shortage. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And Mitch McConnell wasn't going to support the bill if they tried to pass this new version of Build Back Better, the Inflation Reduction Act. God, it's a terrible name. So they vote on the CHIPS bill. It passes the Senate. And then Joe Manchin announces that he's going to do this deal with Chuck Schumer to pass the thing that he promised Mitch McConnell he wouldn't pass. So Joe Manchin ate Mitch McConnell's lunch.
And the House is going to pass that bill. It will be law,
yep.
Which will help. It's going to take some time, but it will help us for the future for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to pass this other smaller Build Back Better. So fuck you, McConnell. We're pulling your shit on you, you fucking piece of shit turtle
yes.
motherfucker.
That's right. Okay.
Go fuck a croc.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That makes a lot of sense. Where's that sound? Of course I have to play it.
It's as good as done.
Yeah, that's it. I don't need to play it. Jody, that was the best impression I've ever heard of a turtle humping a croc. I think that is...
Seriously.
Oh, my God. Now I got to make a clip of that. I got to... Talk about meta. It's Jody Hamilton as a turtle humping a croc as Mitch McConnell.
See?
I feel like I just... watched Meryl Streep's first Oscar-winning shot.
You know, she would be proud not of that at all.
The French Lieutenant's Woman. You remember when she... Oh, she was so good in that.
Here's the actual turtle sound.
I was close.
Yeah.
It's pretty close.
So we could, like, do dueling turtles. Like...
It's when he goes, when he finally finishes. Yeah.
Do they even have vocal cords? Like, what is that?
They do.
The scream of the turtle.
That is the funniest thing I've ever heard. Oh my God, Jody doing the turtle humping a croc.
No,
oh
him
man.
Coming is the best part. It's
reportedly the exact same noise that Lindsey Graham makes.
Strength.
Wow.
We're working blue today. We're working
yeah.
And for once, it wasn't me that started it.
Oh, shit. Okay. Well, you want some more good news? I've got some more good news for you. Once again, we have to reference that Ron Paul gif where he goes, "It's happening. It's happening." The Department of Justice is, according to four sources and reporting by Carol Lenig and her team, the Department of Justice is, in fact, investigating Donald Trump criminally with at least one grand jury, and all having to do with the attempted coup, the attempted overthrow of Congress, 1-6, and everything that preceded it between Election Day and maybe even going in before Election Day and on through the inauguration. So all of this concern that we've had over the past couple of years, is he, won't he, is what's happening with Merrick Garland, why isn't he doing it? It's been underway. And I say this knowing...
People were saying that all along, that, you know, the Justice Department, just because they're not doing press conferences doesn't mean they're not working.
Right. Thank you. And we've been talking about it. I think we've been mentioning the fact that, for example, Peter Navarro, I'm sure the listeners of the show are tired of me mentioning this example, but Peter Navarro was subpoenaed in February by a grand jury for his communications with Donald Trump. We have, through this reporting, according to the Washington Post. They didn't start their investigations this week, by the way, which anyone saying that on Twitter is 100%
wrong.
And so don't do it. This has been underway for a while. Justice Department investigators in April received phone records of key officials and aides in the Trump administration, including his former chief of staff, Mark Meadows. According to two people familiar with the matter, that effort is another indicator of how expansive the Jan 6 probe had become well before the televised House hearings in June and July on the subject. And of course, that's all immensely crucial, not only in terms of its investigation, but also in terms of public PR. So obviously we're grateful for the 1-6 committee, but at the same time, the Department of Justice has been on this for a while. The 1-6 committee, however, is way ahead of them when it comes to interviewing witnesses. So I think DOJ is looking to get its hands on witnesses from the 1-6 committee so they can compare and contrast, look for possible perjury, look for disparities between testimony and so on to narrow down who beyond Donald Trump, and including Donald Trump, was involved in all of this. There are two principal tracks of this investigation, according to Carol Lenig and her team, that could ultimately lead to additional scrutiny of Donald Trump, according to two people familiar with the situation. The first centers on seditious conspiracy and conspiracy to obstruct a government proceeding, the type of charges already filed against individuals who stormed the Capitol. We're talking about Enrique Tarrio. We're talking about the Oath Keepers and the Proud Boys. The second track involves potential fraud associated with the false electors scheme or with pressure Trump and his allies allegedly put on the Justice Department and others to falsely claim that the election was rigged and votes were fraudulently cast. So those are the two main tracks that we're looking at. In fact, we had already heard about the existence of, I think, a DOJ grand jury in D.C. looking into the fake electors scheme. So that has been previously reported, although in the midst of the garment rending on Twitter, a lot of us didn't hear about it, even though the reporting was there.
I really hope that they come down really hard on the fake electors, everyone who was involved with that, because that's exactly what the Georgia state legislature is planning to do in this next election.
Yeah.
Is pick their own electors no matter who wins in the midterms. So
Right. Well, we've got some additional news about that. And this plays into my ongoing theme of Trump and his inner circle being the dumbest crooks in the history of dumb crooks. Oh my God, this is fucking stupid. And gratefully, I'm grateful that they're so dumb. Previously undisclosed emails provide an inside look at the increasingly desperate and often slapdash, well, that's a kind way of putting it, slapdash efforts by advisors to Donald J. Trump to reverse his election defeat in the weeks before the Jan 6 attack, including acknowledgments that a key element of their plan was of dubious legality and lived up to its billing as quote-unquote fake. We're talking about the fake electors here. Those involved in the scheme were quite candid in messages they did not expect the public to see, freely using the word fake and leaving little doubt that their plot was unlikely to withstand legal scrutiny. The New York Times highlighted one email, for example, from Jack Willinchick, a lawyer who helped organize the bogus electors in Arizona. Quote, this is amazing. This is fucking amazing. We would just be sending in fake electoral votes to Pence so that someone in Congress can make an objection when they start counting votes and start arguing that the fake votes should be counted, Willchick wrote on December 8, 2020, in an email to Boris Epstein, a strategic advisor to the Trump campaign. Thank you, morons, you stupid fucking idiots, for incriminating yourselves with your emails. Yes, and now federal investigators have their hands on this shit, where the actual plotters are calling their scheme fake electors.
Yeah.
That's amazing. We're in serious, I remember the old days of morning radio, like morning zoo shows, doing segments like Crooks Are Stupid, where the where a bank robber goes in, puts the note, writes the note to give him all the money.
On the back of his deposit slip.
Exactly right. Or on the back of one of his personal checks with his name and address on the other side.
Right, exactly.
That's these guys. They're that dumb. I can't believe it. And the real, you know,
one of my favorites was the crook that broke into the people's medicine cabinet and took all these, like, and then, like, was just like, man, I'm going to lay down and take a little nap.
Oh, yeah.
Was, like, asleep in their bed when they came home. It's just like, oh, man.
That was a common one.
Don't take
one.
The pills until you're out of the house.
Yeah, and we've seen countless examples of these stupid idiots making mistakes, the Trump people, just walking right into their own mm-hmm. propeller. And this is maybe one of the dumbest mistakes, where they're actually calling their shit fake electors. And this is a serious...
Boris is such a brain trust himself, oh, yeah, Boris Epstein. Yeah.
Well, Angela Shelton kept saying, there's going to be a file... crimes that we did.
Yeah, yeah, right. That's exactly. I wouldn't be surprised if that absolutely.
Well, I mean,
happened.
we got documentary footage at this point that is them saying bullshit. Like, so did you guys talk to the Oath Keeper guy today? You know, I mean, because once you're used to a camera operator around you, you forget they're there.
The existence of it is making them panic, I'm sure. Like, oh, what did you say in front of those guys? Do you remember? Was the camera guy in there?
Exactly.
Was one of the producers in there?
They're not going to remember what was said when it was just cameras around them, because cameras are around them all the time. And so, I mean, it's like, oh, it's not only files of crimes that we committed. It's, look, there's film and videotape of it on recorders. Yeah. And we're there. I mean, they're that dumb.
Maybe that's why Donald Trump looks like a sweaty broken toe. Maybe that's he's just up all night worrying about this shit, and thank God for it, because I'm so into that concept.
Weird. His face looks so small in that picture, and the rest. I mean, it's just such a.
It's really gross. Yeah. It's a gross picture. Yeah, because he's not all made up. He doesn't have all of his. He's not painted up. He doesn't have his face on.
No, he didn't put his face on that day. And you know what? When you don't put your face on, sometimes you don't want people to see it.
Oh, you
like
know
a
what?
Fucking hemorrhoid.
Yes.
That reminds me of show business, which reminds me, oh my God, Jody Hamilton, your mom on fucking Better Call Saul this week.
You were wrong who she played, and I wasn't going to tell you because I told people I wouldn't tell anybody.
I know, but it was still amazing. It was a great episode. It was.
Oh, she's on more.
Oh, she is? Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I can't wait then. Okay, because turns out, and this is a spoiler, so skip ahead a little bit if you don't want to be spoiled about this episode.
Go ahead. Yeah.
She appears in the Gene Takovic timeline, like the post-Breaking Bad version of Saul Goodman / Jimmy McGill.
The black and white parts.
Yes, but that is only the tip of the iceberg as far as what her role is and how it involves Jimmy / Saul / Gene.
Well, all I know is that when they were shooting her episodes, that literally they would give them their sides for the day. And they shot it consecutively, unlike you would normally shoot a single camera anything. You always shoot the same location, whatever many scenes are shot there. They would shoot them so that even Bob Odenkirk didn't really know what was going on. My mom didn't really know what was going on until they got the script. And so... Because she was in New Mexico for 4 months.
Wow.
3 or 4 months.
Oh, man.
During his heart attack. He had his heart attack a year ago today.
Oh, that's right. So did that intersect
it was
with
right
her
before,
being
it? It was right before she was going, because she left in August or September of last year. So it was right now. And I remember emailing her going, are you going to have to wait? Because we're waiting to see how he's doing.
Oh, man. Unbelievable. Well,
but no, she had a blast working on that. She loved everybody. In fact, the people she didn't even get to work with went to set.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, she was so good. And it was like, it was one of those moments, one of those like stand up and cheer moments. We're watching the episode and suddenly there she is. And it's like, oh my God. It was like that that gif that goes around of Leonardo DiCaprio in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. It was like, oh, I recognize
there
that.
There she is.
Yeah, yeah. Oh my God, it's Jody's mom.
I did tell you guys she did learn how to drive a Rascal, so I was not completely quiet on it.
Oh, that's right, right. And she does she normally have one of those, or I assume?
Oh God,
that,
no, the woman walks.
Yeah,
are you
of
kidding?
Course. Yeah.
No, I mean she loved working with everybody there, and even the people that she didn't get to work with that she got to meet, she was excited about that. And Rhea Seahorn was on Seth Meyers' show Tuesday, I think it was Monday or Tuesday. It was Monday, and they he. he brought my mom up because obviously it was going to be on that night. And so she said some very lovely things about my mom. And so I sent that clip to my mom so she could see that.
Oh, that's sweet. Well, it's one of those things where not only is Better Call Saul this groundbreaking show that is from every perspective of filmmaking, television making, whatever you want to call it, it is absolute perfection. I mean, nothing is left to chance. Every detail is so well worked out. The story development, the character development. And then you get this bonus of your mom, Carol Burnett, appearing in one of the final episodes of the series. And not only one of the final episodes of the series, but also such a good episode. Such a fun episode. And
yeah, Lonnie was like, can we watch it again? I was sleepy. Sure, and honey.
There's one part of that episode, and it doesn't necessarily involve your mom, but there's one scene in that episode where you're like, oh, fuck!
Yeah.
It's immensely, like, pulse-pounding. And
yeah, I mean, you're watching him, watching the things that he's watching, watching the person in front of him, and you're like, just come on! Yeah. Come on!
Yeah. So perfect. Well, congratulations to your mom. And
she loved it. She, I mean, people so are like, nice oh, she win an Emmy. TV. I'm like, honey, you haven't even seen the other episode. so maybe she will. We don't know. It's a guest starring role, and it's a specific type of Emmy. No, but Mr. Odenkirk got to, I mean, my mom got to work with him is how she puts it. And because she knows Mr. Gilligan. He lives
Vince Gilligan,
up where
the creator of the show. Yeah, yeah.
And so that's, she met him, and she goes, I loved Breaking Bad, and that was, I think, right as they were starting Saul. So, I mean, she's known him for years, and so the fact that he could figure out how to get her on the show, and I know you thought she was going to play a different character, and when I heard you say that, I'm like, no. Great idea, but no.
Yeah, I mean, it was fun to
speculate. Computer says nah.
I mean, it's fun to speculate, but ultimately, I'm completely satisfied with how she turned up, and of course I am. And
she'll be importanter.
Yeah, the cast had to have been, like, blown away when she appeared on set, because she is absolute comedy royalty, and, you know, for me, someone like Bob Odenkirk is comedy royalty. Because Mr. Show with Bob and David is like my all-time favorite sketch show. It was very influential when it came to producing my own sketch show. Mm-hmm. And your mom is one of the creators of television sketch comedy. So they had to have been knocked out when she arrived.
She had a blast. She
a said royalty among was, royalty, yeah.
Well, I mean, and they'd all known each other for so long, so it was a nice crew. Like when she got to work on Law & Order SVU, it was 15, 16 seasons into that show. So they were very, you know, everybody knew each other for years, and Chris Maloney's dog was in, literally she's being questioned by Chris Maloney's character and his dog is sitting behind him and you can't see it on screen, but there's his dog, you know?
Oh my
so it was
God.
Very, she goes, it's such a family. I said, well, mom, you know that.
Yeah.
You keep hiring the same people every year. It's, you know, it's the same kind of thing. And she said the same about the Saul set, and she had a blast. And yes, when she was doing the Hollywood Walk of Fame thing, I know I said it was because she knew Vince and loved him.
I knew something was up as soon as I saw those pictures. I was like, oh, okay. That's when I was convinced that it was Better
Call
Saul.
Well, the picture of her with the actor that plays Nacho, everybody's like, he's going to hurt her. I'm like, no, he's not. He's very nice.
But it was a great role, great performance, great episode all
She'll
around.
Be back.
So yeah. Oh, good. I can't wait. Yeah, that confirms some plot assumptions for me in terms of what's coming next. We've only got three episodes left. Yes. So and please don't, because
I won't.
Okay. All right. Good. Because I'm desperately avoiding spoil. Although we are watching it the night it comes on, so it's not like we're.
I have to. I wait the next day because it's on way too late for me because I'm in bed at stupid o'clock. And,
right.
And so we watch it the next day.
Okay. If you're only listening to the free portion of the Bob Seska Show on Apple Podcasts, etc., you're only hearing the first hour of the show. Guess what? There's an additional 20 minutes of show after the end credits roll at the end of every Tuesday and Thursday podcast. And it's all happening right there on our Patreon page. Of course, I'm talking about the Shadow Docket podcast at patreon.com/Bob Seska Show. Or simply, if you're having trouble remembering all of that, it's BobSeskaShow.com. Same destination, but two different addresses. Either one will get you there. It's a completely unfiltered, commercial-free continuation of all the fun and news, the Shadow Docket. And it's only going to cost you pennies per episode. Shadow Docket drops every Tuesday and Thursday after the free shows, and it's only going to cost you $5 per month. And you'll be supporting this fully independent podcast, and we thank you for that. Don't miss out. Again, it's BobSeskaShow.com. Bookmark it. Send it to all your friends. And we thank you.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Bob Seska!
All-time favorites all day long!
You live a boring life. You always keep your head down. No one can see you now. You wanna be someone. You gotta get a job. You live like common people. That's not the way to be. You want some energy.
Bob Life, this ain't a happy song. Bob's done. That was a great fucking song. This is the great Matt Springfield. And a song called
I feel like
Pop
this
Life.
Is already huge. You know, like it's just.
No, it
I mean,
should
it's like,
be.
I know this, I feel like. It's like, haven't I been listening to this?
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, this God. Is awesome.
Yeah, this EP is amazing. I think I've played almost every song off of this EP so far. The EP is, of course, called Pop Life. And the song is called Pop Life, too. This is the radio edit, in fact. I got a link in the description for the Apple Podcasts version, or the Apple Music version, I should say. Because it's not a podcast, it's music. I'm just an idiot. Yeah, as I said, link in the description. BobSeska.com/music to submit your work to the show. Yep. Great song for today's show, I think. That's some fantastic news. Which is rare these days. Okay, getting back into things on our big Thursday show. Thank you so much for joining us. Yeah, we talked about the dumb crooks. All right, yeah. Speaking of dumb crooks, John Eastman is further screwed. Yep. The DOJ has a warrant to get John Eastman's phone as part of the fake electors investigation. So they're going to be going through his cell phone to attain more details, more evidence on this ridiculous plan. And in fact, the fake elector scheme was partly about John Eastman. I mean, it was like his thing. DOJ has a warrant for Eastman's phone. This is from AG at Mueller, she wrote. Recall the first one was executed by the DOJ OIG, lots of acronyms in there, the Department of Justice Office of Inspector General. I imagine, she says, but I haven't confirmed that this is now the final step for DOJ to get his comms from OIG, from the Inspector General's office. So this is great news. Once again, they're closing in. The trash compactor is closing in, or is it, the dam is exploded. I think that's the metaphor everyone's using. So here's the dam breaking on the entire Trump cabal. So you hate to see it, don't you? Meantime, the 1-6 committee heard testimony from Steve Mnuchin. And Mike Pompeo is expected to testify in the coming days. And so now they're at the cabinet level, closing in on Donald Trump, where people are flipping on Donald Trump. This is great, great news. Among the officials actively negotiating with the committee are the former director of national intelligence, John Ratcliffe, and the former acting secretary for the Department of Homeland Security, Chad Wolf, sources familiar with the negotiations said. I'll be interested to know what Pompeo has to say, but I suspect we'll get clips from this when season two
I feel like
begins.
Pompeo,
and isn't Mulvaney testifying too? And I heard that Mnuchin, I mean, it's like a whole list of motherfuckers that are close to him.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And as I said, we're going to hear probably clips or see clips from this when season two of the 1-6 committee hearings resumes. I think it's in September,
season two.
Yeah.
Well, it is. It comes in the fall, so that would be second season, certainly.
Yeah, and there was a huge finale.
Well, they only released
seven episodes. So the first, like,
they did a spring replacement. Then they're taking off for the summer, and mm-hmm. they're going to start shooting, and then they start releasing the new episodes in the fall because they've been picked up for a full season in the fall.
Yeah, yeah. Well, here is my little bit of a lecture in the wake of some of this great news, especially the certainly this new legislation, the Inflation Reduction Act, but also when it comes to the DOJ's investigation of Donald Trump. They're now doing their job to an extent. And so it's important that we do our jobs, too. In order to, and I'm not talking about relentlessly rubber stamping everything that Merrick Garland says. I'm not asking you to do that. Certainly, if you want to, that'd be fine. But what I'm saying is the clock is ticking on the Department of Justice. And if the Department of Justice doesn't have more time, Donald Trump's going to run out the clock. Because all he needs to do, ultimately, if we don't get our asses in gear and start winning elections, Donald Trump is going to get pardoned by 2025. If a Republican president ends up winning in 2024. So no matter what happens with DOJ, there's that potential on the horizon. And that potential can be thwarted if we get our ass in gear as voters in a democracy. So if we make sure that we're focused as a movement, as a party, in making sure that either Joe Biden or whoever runs in his place, depending on where your head is in terms of 2024.
Joe Biden will run in 2024, or his vice president, Madam Kamala Harris, will run. And so you just shut your mouths about all this fucking speculation. It's so stupid. It's like catnip. It's like, folks, first we have to get through 2022. Mm-hmm. You know, we have midterm elections in front of us, like in our laps. So stop humping 2024's leg.
Yeah.
And trying to pin whatever your, you know, this only proves my point. Mm-hmm. You know, you like fet your agenda around whatever candidate you want to look at. But like, it's, until you hear different, your nominee in 2024 will be Joe Biden or his vice president, Kamala Harris. Now, let's talk about the midterms, you know?
Like, right.
Well, merely speculating that Joe Biden isn't going to run or telling a pollster that you don't think Joe Biden will run makes it less likely Joe Biden will run. It actually weakens Joe Biden ahead of his possible reelection campaign. And that's not good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just so fucking beltway to me. It's so fucking stupid.
It is. Yeah. It is. It's,
I mean,
very
and I just, it makes me just, and I feel like Elizabeth Warren handled this really well when Mick DeHasson asked her about it last night on the place where Rachel used to be.
She's there on Mondays.
Yeah. Yeah, she is.
But
that's
like
true.
But Dad only comes on certain alternate weekends now and you know, like has weekend custody, but only on Mondays. And I just feel like my parents split up or something. It's exactly the vibe I got when she was explaining it to us in the spring. When Rachel's like, I'm going to be here on Mondays. It's going to be fine. You're going to like your new school. You know?
Well, the bottom line is, if you want the things, you have to work to preserve the things. Because if the Republicans suddenly have a trifecta in the federal government, both chambers of Congress and the presidency, they will repeal all of those limits on carbon emissions. They will repeal the 15% minimum tax on billion-dollar profit corporations. They'll repeal all that shit. Plus, you know what they'll do is the first Republican president to come along will pardon Donald Trump, whether he's mid-prosecution or he's sitting in jail or any point in between. That's going to happen. So we got to provide cover. That is up to us. These guys are doing their job. Merrick Garland's doing his job. Matthew Graves' life is never going to be the same. He is the U.S. attorney in Washington, D.C., who's most likely at the center of all of this grand jury activity. And so we have to give them plenty of cover. And that's our role in this.
Lots of room to run.
Exactly. Yeah. Fucking right. I go back to the late 80s, early 90s, when a lot of people started to speculate, when's Johnny Carson going to retire? And there were lots of think pieces in the entertainment press. Oh, Johnny's getting old. When do you think he's going to leave at 30 years or whatever it is? 40 years? I forget how long he was the late night host at that point, or the Tonight Show host. But regardless, I think it was the speculation about Johnny Carson leaving that ultimately led to Johnny Carson deciding, okay, I better fucking leave. Because everyone's saying, and then Helen Kushner.
When he was 116 years old.
Well, he was old, but yeah, it was ultimately
You know what? The gossip in this town, his managers and agents were probably talking about it with the network, and it got out.
Well, before we go too far down another Hollywood rat hole.
That's just speculating. Like, the Beltway.
It's an example. Yeah, kind of what's happening to Joe Biden.
I want to say that I feel like one of the things that the January 6th committee has really done is really clarified what the crimes are and how much was at stake and how close we came to being in an America that we completely wouldn't recognize.
Yeah.
And I feel like with, 77.7 million viewers on the last hearing or something, I mean, it's definitely like we will probably never recover most of the MAGA heads right now. Their poor little brains are fried and they're just, just have to wait for them to retire or crash their little electric scooters. I feel like where we really need to be going into 2023 and 2024 is with prosecutions.
Yeah.
People actually, I think it was, Mark Short,
Mike
Pence's old
chief of staff. Oh, yeah, they're going to the DOJ. Yeah, they're under grand jury subpoenas and talking.
Right, in addition to Mnuchin.
I particularly liked what he said about Matt Gaetz.
Yeah, he said Matt Gaetz.
That was brilliant.
Matt Gaetz is definitely going to prison. That's what he said.
I have the quote right here. Wait.
Yeah.
Because I highlighted it. Here it is. During an appearance on CNN, Short was asked by host Aaron Burnett to respond to Gaetz's claim at Turning Point USA Student Action Summit that Mike Pence will never be president because he's not a leader. He says, I don't know if Mike Pence will run for president in 2024, but I don't think Matt Gaetz will have an impact on that, Short said. In fact, I'd be surprised if he was still voting.
Because he's in Florida.
It's more likely he'll be in prison for child sex trafficking by 2024. And I'm actually surprised that Florida law enforcement still allows him to speak at teenager conferences like that.
That's incredible.
So I'm not too worried about what Matt Gaetz thinks.
Yeah, they're just eating themselves alive, aren't they? And so on top of Mnuchin, on top of Pompeo, John Ratcliffe, Chad Wolf, also Mark Short, who, by the way, is great in Only Murders in the Building. I just wanted to throw that in there. No, that's Martin
really
Short.
Decent,
So Mark Short is going to testify to the grand jury. That is huge. Cassidy Hutchinson, we know, is testifying to the DOJ's grand jury in all of this. Again, Donald Trump's got to be shitting himself. It's got to be happening, and I'm here for it. I'm totally here to
laugh. Well, that's been happening, according to Noel Kassler. I mean, that's been going on since the 90s, dude.
Yeah. Well, it's quite clear, and this is, I think, aside from the DOJ's investigation, which we don't know a whole lot about. But from a public perspective, Cassidy Hutchinson's testimony was the dam breaker, I think. I think that's what... Yeah.
Well, again, I was just getting dried off.
Sorry about that. Yeah.
Give me a towel. Towels this time, Bob.
I warned you, this is a wet ride. Yeah, but Cassidy Hutchinson is, I think, historically going to be regarded as the person who is sort of, and I'm not the first person to say this, but she is the John Dean and, Alexander Butterfield of this particular investigation. Those two guys were the turning points of the Watergate investigation, and Cassidy Hutchinson is the turning point of the investigation into Donald Trump. I think this has created a critical mass, a chain reaction through Trump world, and I think it's given a lot of cover to some of these people like Mark Short coming forward and agreeing to testify, whereas maybe a year ago, maybe even a few years ago in the context of the Mueller investigation, these guys would have challenged their subpoenas in court, but now they're cutting deals and willingly going in and testifying, not only to the 1-6 committee, but now also to the grand jury in Washington, D.C. And by the way, we say the grand jury singular, but Carol Lenning has been saying that there could be more than one grand jury.
Oh, sure.
There could be the seditious conspiracy grand jury, and there could be the fake electors grand jury. There could be a third grand jury in there, too, that we don't know about with a question mark. These are all things that are happening. It's happening. It's happening.
It's like a chain. It's a franchise of movies, like the the Grand and the Jurious.
Yes.
Seven.
Right.
You know, like,
right.
Yeah.
Well, and doing his best to distract everyone, Donald Trump, the whiny fucking diaper baby, is suing CNN for being mean to him on television. Once again, this is like the weaponization of slap suits, cancel culture. Yeah.
Because he always says he's suing people, and then he just serves them a notice or whatever, and then nothing ever happens.
Well, he's giving them, I think, 10 days to issue an apology, which is, by the way, that's the MO of James O'Keefe and the Project Veritas. So it's
cease and desist letters are easy, and you don't have to do anything, and then if they don't do it, then you have to decide whether you want to pursue a lawsuit, because then there's depositions, there's evidence, there's all sorts of shit you got to give to the other
discovery.
Side.
Discovery.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And when O'Keefe went after me, sent his lawyer after me, demanding that I take down a couple of tweets that they thought were defamatory to James O'Keefe when I said his videos were fake.
They
gave me a couple of weeks to take them down. Of course I didn't fucking take them down. I'm not going to be intimidated by a fucking pissant like James O'Keefe. They are still up there to this day. And so, fuck him. I'm not going to bow to that kind of pressure. And besides, my lawyer was like super stoked. Charles Bowen from the Bowen Law Group in Savannah, Georgia, was so stoked to take up this case. He was like, oh my God, I can't wait. Is this really going to happen? Yeah, I was like, it's happening. It's happening. Anyway, Donald Trump said on Truth Central, he said, I have notified CNN of my intent to file a lawsuit over their repeated defamatory statements against me. I will also be commencing actions against other media outlets who have defamed me and defrauded the public regarding the overwhelming evidence of fraud throughout the 2020 election.
Oh, for fuck's sake, old man. Put it back in your diaper. Jesus.
I will never stop fighting for the truth. And for the future of our country, he said truth, but of course, sometimes he screws it up. So truth essential. And so that's Donald Trump's sweaty statement.
Latest sweaty, grabby baby attempted relevance.
Yeah. So good luck going after CNN and Time Warner, et cetera. With your
his First Amendment,
with his lawyers that he found on the back of the phone book or something like that, because those are the only people who will represent him anymore.
I mean,
he's the only ones who still have their law licenses that he worked for him.
No shit, barely any of them. The thing is, I mean, my mom successfully sued a publication because they literally lied.
Yes,
CNN is not lying.
No, they're not.
So. And it's really hard when you're a public figure to sue. It's really fucking hard. It might get easier because of the New York Times thing that's going to the Supreme Court next term. But there's a reason that it's difficult for public figures to sue.
Yeah.
Because they're public.
We last night on John Fugelsang's show, we ended up doing dueling Saul Rosenbergs on the show. Sue everybody. So I bring my shoes and my glasses with me so I have them.
So I have to.
Punitive damages here.
Yeah.
Punitive damages. He pushed me down the stairs and my shoes fell off.
They fell off and then I don't know where they are. Do you know where they are? Can you help me?
Oh my God. And you know what? The hits keep coming. I've got more great news. But wait, more dings.
More dings.
Coming up right after these words.
Bob Seska. Please, more music.
This is Japan Van Damme.
Nice.
Favorite band names, huh? 7 Day Weekend is the name of the song. The album is called Normal Style. ReverbNation.com/Japan Van Damme. One of the easiest band names to remember. Yep, link in the description, of course. also to support
Matt
Springer.
Kind of feels a little Tom Petty-ish to me in a great way, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Like I want to be in a baby blue 67 Mustang ragtop with the top down. Driving fast.
BobSeska.com/music to submit. All right, so this is another great story, and this dovetails nicely with Donald Trump's legal actions, his slap suits, his attempts to silence CNN because CNN was mean to him. Oh, there he is. Yeah, fart.
This is getting really vivid, okay? I'm starting to... I think I just threw up a little.
All right, so...
I do not like babies.
I'll preface this by saying, a couple days ago, I was like 100% hawkish on the fact that Donald Trump is going to run for president again, and if he runs for president again, obviously there's a chance that he could get the nomination and win. However, today, I'm not nearly that hawkish about it.
Finally.
Yes. So, according to this report, the RNC has told Donald Trump they will stop paying his legal bills if he runs in 2024. Thank you, Ronna McDaniel and the RNC. That's a great story. Yes, an RNC official said that the party's neutral policy prohibits it from taking sides in the presidential primary. So, of course, they're not going to give Donald Trump money if he's running against whatever it is, 90 other Republicans who are also going to run. So they have to maintain that neutrality. Since October 2021, the RNC has paid nearly $2 million to firms representing Trump. So who's going to cover those legal bills? That's the big question. It has to be Save America PAC. But he's already blown through. What?
The SAPs will do it. The SAPs.
Yes.
Save America PAC.
Save America PAC. Exactly. I think the numbers, I could be wrong on this, but I think I saw the numbers of what he had and what's left over. I think Save America PAC raised something like $400 million. I think it's now down to $100 million. I think he's blown through all of that money. And so he's going to have to dig into that slush fund in order to pay his legal bills, but eventually that's going to run out. So he'll need to replenish that, which means he can't replenish Save America PAC. He can't continue to raise money for Save America PAC while also running for president. And now that the RNC has pulled that
money
rug out.
Furnace.
I know.
You just dump, I mean, Jesus Christ, the millions of dollars this man has burned through to no good end.
Yeah.
To have made the world a demonstrably worse place.
Isn't that why the bankruptcy court put him on an allowance after all of his bankruptcies? Because he's bad with money. I mean, the money guy, that's one of the great ironies that Donald Trump, this sack of trans fats, is considered to be like this masculine alpha male Rambo character, which is complete bullshit. And this whole thing that he's a guy who builds shit, that's bullshit, because all he does is take things that have already been built and slaps his stupid name on there. And then this other thing is, oh yeah, well, he's the money guy.
He's the money man.
The money man.
Money man.
Would you do a Merry Christmas and a Happy Safe New Year?
But he's not. He's terrible with money. He's awful with money. He's terrible at business. And so these are all the things that we all know that an entire segment of the population completely is oblivious about. They just have no idea because they believe his lies. According to a book by ABC News reporter Jonathan Carl, in the final days of Trump's presidency, Trump told Ronna McDaniel that he was leaving the GOP and creating his own political party, only to back down after McDaniel made it clear that the party would stop paying his legal bills. He was going to form a third party, which would have been great news for, you know, the world. But Ronna McDaniel
Jonathan
said,
Carl is one of my bugbears. That guy is so consistently wrong about shit. And the night before the Cassidy Hutchinson hearings, he was like, well, this won't be a big deal. They won't be pulling any kind of, you know, he was like, don't expect anything huge tomorrow. And I'm like, Jonathan Carl, you are going way out there on a limb. You have been as wrong about as many things as you've been wrong about as many times as you've been wrong about them. And sure enough, he was 180 degrees wrong on that. And I just.
Yeah. Well, he was really slow on the uptake when it comes to the transformation of the Republican Party from being, you know, somewhat fucking batshit crazy to completely over the edge now, Christian dominionist, far right, fascist, racist, anti-trans, anti-LGBTQ, all of it. He's just now catching up to the rest of the world on what this entire movement is all about. You know what? I almost forgot to mention this, and I'm glad I caught this in my notes. We got to talk about the Republicans filibustering the PACT Act.
Yeah.
Which is funding for healthcare for veterans who were exposed to burn pits while overseas.
Yep.
This is a huge fucking bit of awfulness from the Republican Party. 42 Republicans in the Senate voted to filibuster, successfully filibuster and kill this particular act. And this is after they already voted to approve it. Okay, so the House had initially passed the PACT Act by a vote of 342-88 back on July 13. About a month after, the Senate passed the bill by a vote of 84-14. The Senate had to retake the bill on Wednesday because the House passed some minor changes in its version. And so because of those changes, and because Mitch McConnell doesn't want to give the Democrats another victory right before the midterms, the Republicans filibustered the bill.
But, you know, this is, I mean, the thing is, you ask someone like Jonathan Carl, you're like, he will tell you that it's tax and spend liberals and Democrats hate the military and that Republicans are the party of fiscal responsibility in spite of all of the evidence to the 180-degree opposite.
Right.
That Republicans completely bankrupt the country, filling their pockets as fast and hard as they can the whole time they're in office. Mm-hmm. Democrats come in and try to institute some changes and undo the damage and get us into, like, the black, and then Republican administration comes in once again and, like, literally prints money, gets it cut, and sticks it in briefcases and takes it home, you know, like fucking Mnuchin or whatever his name is.
Yeah, yeah.
And but still, you know, Wolf Blitzer's going to be like, why are Democrats so into deficit spending? Like,
I know. It's completely counterfactual. And I remember when the Republicans branded themselves as the Support the Troops or Else Party after 9/11. That was the other thing I mentioned.
That's why I brought it up just then, because you're talking about the burn pits.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, you know, why do Democrats hate the military? It's like, have you not been paying attention? The last president just said it was a job for suckers.
Right.
John Stewart went on a rant about it today.
Yeah,
too,
you want to hear some of John Stewart's rant today out in front of the Capitol building? Yeah, he let fly, and he does at the very end, he does a Mitch McConnell impression, which is pretty good. So here's John Stewart, who's a huge advocate for not only the 9/11 heroes, but also, veterans coming back.
So ain't this a bitch?
Yeah. Yep.
Ain't this a bitch?
Yep.
America's heroes who fought in our wars, outside sweating their asses off, with oxygen, battling all kinds of ailments, while these motherfuckers sit in the air conditioning, walled off from any of it. They don't have to hear it. They don't have to see it. They don't have to understand that these are human beings. Do you get it yet? Do we see that these aren't heroes? These are men and women, mothers and fathers, sisters and brothers, that we just let stand outside in the heat when they can't breathe. I'm going to read you something. This is beautiful. I'm going to read you something beautiful. You know what? I said a curse word, and I'm sorry about that. That was my fault. Let me say something beautiful. This is a tweet from Senator Rick Scott of Florida from yesterday. It's beautiful. And I'm sorry about the cursing, and let me say something beautiful to make it up to you. I was honored to join the USO today and make care packages for our brave military members in gratitude, of their sacrifice and service to our nation. And there's a beautiful picture. I wish you could see it. He's standing with a little package. Did you get the package? I think it has M&Ms in it and some cookies.
Didn't get it.
And some moist towelettes. I don't even know. Honestly, I don't even know what to say. I've been coming down here 10, 15 years. I'm used to the hypocrisy. Christina Keene will tell you from VFW. She sat in an office with Mitch McConnell and a war veteran from Kentucky, and he looked that man in the eyes, and he said, we'll get it done.
There it is. John Stewart.
That was really good, actually.
Yeah. That was, I think, appropriate for what has happened here.
Yeah.
And
no, I mean,
hypocrisy barely begins to cover it, too. Yeah, what were you saying, David?
They're just like, you know, we're the gods, guns, and guts people, you know, but it's like, no, you don't fight our wars.
Mm-hmm.
You let poor black and brown people do that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And you don't support law enforcement because, you know, when it's time to overrun the Capitol, you're going to hit them with bear spray and fucking spears with American flags on them, you fucking fucks.
And of course,
when it comes time to take care of our returning vets, you don't want to do shit. Right. You don't even want to like modernize their hospital so they can get decent, like just standard like physicals and just regular checkups.
Mm-hmm.
You want to just
they're good for politics, though. I mean, they're great for branding. But then when it comes to actually spending some money to make sure they get the health care they need because they're dying of glioblastoma from the fucking burn pits. They're dying from that.
Yeah.
Beau Biden died from that.
At least Republicans are admitting that the only reason they like the soldiers is because they have the like the uniforms and they look strong. So, and they're like admitting they like the Nazi uniforms a little better.
Yeah.
You know, because they're, you know.
Well, and they like they say they love the police, but then they defund them.
Exactly. Well, and then there's that gangrel creature, fucking Rick Scott, who's, by the way, a Christian Dominionist. Rick Scott filibustered this legislation. Like, yeah.
He just like he like I mean I get a very closeted vibe off Rick Scott, like
all right
yeah
no really just think about it for a minute like he's got that there's a thing that happens I don't know if it's just in the South but you'll meet these guys that are like not just in the closet but like in a shoebox under a floorboard in the back of the closet because Jesus is their boyfriend and they have these crazy eyes you know and they talk about the Savior and the power of redemption and you know and they just are like. Cruel, money hungry, vicious, hateful people. And it's just like Rick Scott. I mean, again, it's like, well, thank you, Central Casting, for making him look like Nosferatu because he's a fucking monster.
He is a monster. Absolutely true.
And he's got that, just that whole like shiny eyed, like, but everything is wonderful when
he's fucking Gollum. He's Gollum from Lord of the Rings. He's
Does that make Michelle Bachmann Bat Boy?
Yes, right. Well, here's one of my favorites from the United States Senate. This is Senator John Tester from Montana talking about this this filibuster.
We have an all-volunteer military in this country. If you don't think young people are watching what we're doing today, that are thinking about signing up for the military, you're sadly mistaken. And we don't take care of our veterans when they come home, they're going to say, why should I ever sign the dotted line? Because the promises that I made and the promises the country made, only half that deal's being respected, my half. This is a sad day in the United States Senate. This is the biggest issue facing our veterans today. Make no mistake about it. If it wasn't, every veteran service organization wouldn't be out there talking to us and have been talking to me for the last 15 years. So we can make up all sorts of excuses about how this is going to move money around, but let me tell you something. We're the ones that decide that. If we want to move money around, we will. If we don't, we won't. In the meantime, let's pass this bill. Let's get veterans the health care they've earned. If it isn't, it's political malpractice. What we're doing today with this policy, by putting this policy off, does nobody any good whatsoever.
John Tester, right there.
Yeah.
You know, I was watching, like, one of the things I love to do in the late afternoon is watch Hal Sparks' show on YouTube, Mega Worldwide.
Yeah, it's fantastic, isn't it?
There's no better way to absorb the awfulness coming from the Red Hat Entertainment Complex than to get it from Hal Sparks, because he goes through all of those videos, Glenn Beck, Don Jr., the Donald Trump rallies, all of it, and he picks them apart in only the way that Hal Sparks can. And it's so entertaining and so refreshing to experience that awfulness, but filtered through Hal Sparks' sense of humor and his smarts and all the rest of it. So we're watching this video. I think it was Donald Trump at the Turning Points USA thing this past weekend, where Donald Trump was doing a lot of Sir stories. And he was talking about Raising Cane, the same bullshit, same stories he always tells. Yeah, what do you mean? Your name is Raising Cane? How is that? All the same bullshit. But it occurred to me while I was watching this latest series of Sir stories, and it wasn't just one Sir story. It's a bunch of, like, he told the one Sir story about how he flew to Iraq that one time and wanted to give himself a Congressional Medal of Honor because he flew to Iraq.
Jesus.
That's a true
he's
story.
He's totally like doing the slideshows, you know?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, there was this other time. It's like, he, you know, his one winning season.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
But it occurred to me that what Donald Trump is doing with his sir stories is he's mocking the troops. He's mocking
Absolutely.
His generals. He's mocking uh-huh. the military. He has uh-huh. contempt for the military. And you can hear it in his voice when he's doing, sir, we need you to sit down because we're landing in a hostile territory, sir. And he's doing this funny, or his version of funny, voice, mocking soldiers, mocking career military guys and women who are flying his fucking ass to Iraq and around the world. And he's mocking them. This party has no respect for the troops. They use the troops as props for their videos, props for their politics and their bumper stickers and their Lee Greenwood bullshit.
It's how they use Jesus as well.
Exactly fucking right. They have no reverence for any of these things.
Yeah.
They're exploiting them. It's exploitation. Mm-hmm. Donald Trump is mocking them. He's making fun of them. He's teasing them. And
they're
he
props.
Does it all the time. Yes.
Yes.
Well, that's just textbook narcissism.
Yeah,
everybody else is a prop.
Yep.
Even your own
yep.
daughter is yep. a fucking prop.
Mm-hmm.
And it all is just an extension.
She's just
of
a coffee girl, David. She's just a coffee girl.
You can hear her fucking feeding in the lines from that grotesque set of outtakes from January 7th.
Oh, yeah.
She's
yeah.
like, okay, once it's over, like, you know, just what.
I'm having trouble saying yesterday. I don't know. What is that
hard
word?
Yesterday.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to say that. Like, you didn't want to say that the insurrection.
I don't know, it's like petulant little cut gesture. That was the thing that bothered me the most, his little point down thing.
Yes. Well, yeah, and then him freaking out and pounding the podium and grimacing, you know, just like a petulant little baby.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to
That's
cover his ass.
That's all he's ever been. Mm-hmm. You know, I keep trying to tell people that. He's a fucking malignant 7-year-old gone rotten in the socket like a bad tooth.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, just hideous.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was like Dave, what's his face, at the New York Times, Brooks, who said that, you know, all these people are trying to like codify and like make sense of his like motivations and strategies when like he's like, you know, Trump's intellect is basically 6 fireflies blinking in a jar. And I'm like, no, that's like, yeah. But I'm like, that's way too benign. It's like 100 scorpions like fighting over a piece of rotten meat, you know, like just, I mean, he has no. Nothing, no adult faculties whatsoever, no empathy, no sense of humor, no warmth, no, I mean, no even like sense of awe or wonder.
No.
Like the most beautiful, the thing that gave him goosebumps was a fucking piece of chocolate cake.
Yeah.
Well, did you hear Don Jr. talk about Ivana at the service?
No.
He told a story that I guess was supposed to be heartwarming about this one time when a chandelier got broken, because that's normal. And
right. Oh, God, it happens at every house. Yeah.
Apparently Ivanka did it and then said that Don Jr. did it. So mom went to Don Jr. with a wooden spoon and started hitting him, you know, because he was in trouble. And she ended up stopping because she got too tired before she believed
what?
That he was lying. This is not a story you tell at your mother's service.
No, that's a horrendous story.
And then apparently Ivanka spoke about her mother saying, yeah, she wanted me to wear shorter skirts. Who are these people?
They're like the Coneheads. They're doing a horrible job at pretending to be human.
Fucking monsters.
Yeah. Just crazy. Let's honor mom by telling a story about how she relentlessly abused me with a wooden spoon.
That's just disgusting. And too bad for him getting hit, and too bad his fucking sister lied about it. But really?
Mm.
I don't need to know this information.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, by the way,
as much as we hate them, they hate themselves probably just as
way
much.
Way more, yeah.
A little bit of breaking news here. The GDP fell 0.9%, which is not
but what was it?
Yeah. I mean,
what was it, though? I mean, what is our GDP? When somebody says it dropped 0.9%, okay, so what is it? Don't tell me it dropped. Tell me what it is.
Yeah, well, this means that it's 0.9%.
Oh, that's like when I was waiting tables a couple of years ago. People were like, does this have gluten? Does this have gluten? I'd be like, I don't know. What is gluten?
Yeah. Well, I think,
and their poor horrified faces. Go on, I'm sorry.
I don't know if this signals an actual recession. I mean, it's two quarters in a row that it's declined, but it's only 0.9%. I don't know if that qualifies, but technically, I guess it does. I don't know. The economists will figure it out. We'll leave it up to the production room to figure out that one, because I don't know. It's the end of the show.
The
I don't
job
give
market
a shit.
Is still great. It's, People are still getting
things
hired.
Things are fine. Yeah, yeah.
It's, you know.
Okay.
Gas prices are coming down.
Shadow Docket up next. BobSeskaShow.com. See you over there, folks. Bye now. Bye-bye.
Have a good weekend. Bye.